Good morning. Now I am definitely on. So, fantastic. Well, welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad that you can join us this day. Those are mine. It's fine. Today we're going to be reflecting upon, what does it mean to be great in the kingdom of God? And what God calls us to as we follow him as our leader. But I invite you to stand as we begin our service as we always do. Remembering whose it is that we belong to. We begin our service in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
My friends, let's pray as we come into our Father's presence. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day that you have given us, Lord, a day that we get to be in your presence, that we get to receive from you, Lord, your forgiveness, your word, your love, your meal, all your blessings in so many different ways. Lord, I pray that you would send your spirit to work in us and to speak through us, Lord, as we are able to respond to you in worship and praise for all that you have done to us. Lord, we thank you for all this. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us begin the worship service doing something wonderful, and that is receiving the forgiveness that our Lord and Savior Jesus earned for us on the cross. And so let us begin by confessing our sins to God, laying them at his feet, and receiving that forgiveness. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Sons of Let all the earth proclaim. Good morning. My name is Lars Vallon. I'm one of the elders here, and it's my privilege to read the scriptures for you today. Our first reading is Psalms 71, verses 17 through 21. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things. Who is like you, God? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. This is the word of the Lord.
Sermon text for today is Mark chapter 9, verses 33 to 37. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." This is God's word for us today. It's now time. Whoop. I need that a little longer. It's now time for the children's message. So, wait. I turned the page already. Yes. So Debbie Armbruster has the message for us today. Kids, you can come forward at this time.
Good morning, my friends. I'm going to need to walk around for a little bit. So if you guys want to have a seat, kind of save me a spot in the middle there for when we come back. I am going to need your help this morning. And Catherine, would you be my first helper? Yeah. Will you come over here? And I want you guys to all look over here. Come here, Catherine. So I maybe would like to have a scarf. So I have yarn and I have some knitting needles. And this is my friend, Mrs. Mangrum. Okay, so I want you guys to look over here and I want you to tell me, who do you think should I ask to make me a scarf? Catherine or Mrs. Mangrum? Mrs. Mangrum, why do you think Mrs. Mangrum should be the one to make me a scarf, Ava?
Because I don't know how to knit.
Because Catherine doesn't know how to knit. You did a great job. Yeah. Thanks. Okay. I have another question. Liam, would you come here for a minute? And Pastor Josh, could you stand up? So I have two people right here. And let's say I had tickets to take all of you to the movies. And we had a school bus. And the school bus was going to take you to the movies. Would you rather have Pastor Josh or Liam drive the bus? Liam says he would do it. Do you think it would be better to let Daddy do it?
He doesn't know how to drive.
He doesn't know how to drive? Okay, good job. Thank you very much. I have one more question. We have to look this way. Let's see. Chelsea, would you come up here for just a minute? And this is my friend, Mrs. Falls. And this is the music for the Christmas program. Do you think we should have Mrs. Falls play it or Chelsea?
Mrs. Falls.
Mommy. Yes, Mommy. Mommy gets the vote. Why?
She knows how to read it.
She knows how to read. Do you know how to read this stuff, Chelsea?
No.
No. Would you like to have to play all this?
No.
No. So there's a good reason why sometimes we would choose adults. Can I borrow her?
Yeah.
Just,
Do you want to come here for a minute?
It's okay. Maybe not. Zoe, you come here. I have one more question. Think carefully. What kind of heart does Jesus like to see? We just read about it. What do you think, Isaac?
A kind one.
The old or the child? What do you think?
Child.
The child's heart. Talks a little bit about a child's heart. You did great. You were the kid that was a winner. Good job. Have a seat. So let's talk about that for a second. Why do you think? Can I scoot in here? Is that okay? I won't. I promise. What does Jesus love about a child's heart?
It's brand new.
It's brand new. Do kids trust really easily? Do kids have faith really easily?
Yes.
No.
Are kids full of joy?
Yes.
So sometimes if we say to an adult, well, Jesus walked on water, they might be like, well, the weight and the buoyancy of the water, it probably wouldn't work, and there had to be blah, 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 and they blah, blah, blah. And you know what kids do? When somebody says, you guys, Jesus walked on water, they go, cool, awesome. God is amazing. And then they want to tell other people. And they have such lovely hearts. Jesus loves a child's heart. But he also talks about, and I love that I got this message this week. It says, even when I am old and gray, I will declare your power to the next generation. Now, is there anybody up here that's old and gray?
I mean, yes.
Who is it? Me. So even though God loves the way a child's heart is, he says, you people that are older, you have a big job. You need to teach these children about my word and my power. Do you guys know what's going to happen a little bit later? What's up on the altar?
Books,
Bibles, and some young students are going to get Bibles.
I already got Bibles.
Isn't it first through third grade?
I think so. So I have some questions for you. Number one, who makes mistakes?
We all do.
Everybody. Number two, who loves us?
God.
God does. Number three, who did God send to this earth to take care of that problem?
Jesus.
I don't know what number I'm on. Four. After Jesus died, what happened?
He went in the tomb.
He was in the tomb, and then what?
He
rose again. And where is he now?
Heaven.
He's in heaven. Who is going to get to go to heaven and be with him someday? Everybody that believes in him. That's the kind of stuff the old gray people, or old but not gray people, are supposed to share with you younger people. Isn't that cool? He loves children's hearts, and he has adults that can fill your hearts up with all that good stuff. Will you pray with me?
Dear God,
help me to love and trust you. Whether I'm young or whether I'm old and gray. In Jesus' name. And all God's children said, Amen. And now you get to go to a little worship with Mrs. Deutschley back there, I think. Have a great time.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In sports, there's a lot of talk of GOATs. That is, of course, the greatest of all time. And the ones that at least come to my mind, not that I'm a huge sports buff, but, you know, in basketball, of course, you have Michael Jordan or LeBron. in baseball, you might have Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, or you know, being in St. Louis, you know, maybe Albert Pujols or Yadi. And of course, you know, in football, I think I have to give it to Tom Brady with all the Super Bowl wins he's had and well into his 40s still playing the sport. For non-sports, I like cooking, so my mind went to Julia Child or perhaps Gordon Ramsay with all the different TV shows he has. But in order for an individual to be considered the greatest of all time, of course, what they would need is a lot of dedication, a lot of hard work, a lot of persevering through setbacks and things of that nature. And so the reason why I'm mentioning this is because there's something that happens with the disciples as they're traveling along the way to where Jesus has a bit of a heart-to-heart with them. The text mentions how it is that they are debating about, well, who is the greatest disciple? And considering what has just happened leading up to this walk and this being at the house, I can picture what I imagine to be the bit of the flow of the logic here. You see, Jesus took three disciples with him, Peter, James, and John, and they went up on a mountain, and he was transfigured before them. And while they were there, Peter doesn't really know what to say. He's just mesmerized by the fact that Elijah and Moses are there as well. And he says, Jesus, it's good that we are here. You know what? Let's set up tents and stay here like forever. Or as long as you want, Jesus. That'd be great. Let's just hang out with Moses and Elijah. This is good times. And God the Father speaks and says, you know, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. In other words, Peter, you have no idea what you're talking about. Shh. And then they go down the mountain, and we heard last week what it is that transpired next, because while Jesus and Peter, James, and John were up on a mountain, the other disciples are there waiting, and a father comes with his son who is possessed by a demon. And the disciples, now, they had been following the leader Jesus for quite some time. In fact, Jesus had even sent them out with authority to cast out demons. So I bet they were sitting there kind of bored, wondering what's happening up on the mountain, why weren't they invited, et cetera, et cetera. And, ooh, yeah, here's a chance. Let's exorcise this demon. All right. But it doesn't work. And so finally Jesus comes down and he has mercy on the man and he drives the demon out. And I can just picture what in my mind is the conversation as they're walking on the way. I assume it was Peter. It's always Peter who likes to say things. And he's like, I bet I could have exorcised that demon. I'd driven that thing out so fast. And then James or John, maybe both of them, be like, Peter, do you remember what just happened on the mountain? And I was like, oh, yeah, what happened on the mountain? Oh, and we can't talk about that. But Peter, you know what you said. You wouldn't have been able to drive out that demon. You have no idea. But we could have done it. And Peter's like, whatever. I walked on water. You guys saw that? It was amazing. I am the best disciple ever. Yeah, and then you sank. Be quiet, you sons of thunder. See, James and John had kind of said to Jesus, they were full of pride, and they thought to themselves, hey, Jesus, these people didn't respond to you the way that we think they should have. Do you want us to call down thunder from heaven and rain down on these people, you know, the smiting that they deserve for not listening to you? And Jesus is like, no, don't do that. You see, all the disciples were puffed up in their pride as they're walking on the way. We don't know exactly what they said, but they're discussing who among them is the greatest. And pride functions a bit like a monster. It always wants to devour more and more and more. It's never satisfied with where you're at. So they get to the house, and as it says, Jesus asked them what they were discussing along the way. And they had enough forethought to keep silent. For on the way, they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. At least had a little bit of recognition. You know, we probably shouldn't have been doing that. I don't want to admit to Jesus we were doing that. And Jesus sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if any of you would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And then Jesus essentially says, now hold on a second. I'm afraid what you might have heard was, I want you to serve a lot of people. That's not good enough, no. I want you to serve all people. And to really impress his points that he's not just saying, well, serve the people who are greater than you by earthly standards. Serve the important people, you know. No, Jesus takes a child. A kid who's small enough that he could take the kid in his arms, but big enough that he's not called an infant at this point. And I think sometimes we can be tempted when we hear about children in the Bible and Jesus taking up this child that it might be something a bit like this. Like Jesus is there talking to his disciples and the child's just like sitting there soaking up everything Jesus is saying. It's the most amazing thing ever. Oh my goodness, this guy's talking to me. I don't think that's how that child was. I know some children. I imagine this kid is just running around the house. He's got dust encrusted snot just hanging off his face. Just running around. Jesus like scoops him up. What are you doing? Like, I don't think this is the type of kid that was just picturesque and like, oh yeah, serve that one. No, this is the type of individual in that society who would basically be considered like a slave, having very little value at this point in his or her life. Just running around, and Jesus says, serve that one. You see, kids in that day more often were to be told, well, this is what I want you to do, or hey, do this for me, or stop doing that, was about most of the communication, I believe, that parents or other adults had, especially if it wasn't your kid. If you don't need something from them, you're not talking to them at all. But Jesus takes a child and put him in the midst of them, takes him in his arms, and he says, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we can easily fall into the same trap of our pride. Sometimes we look out with our pride like the disciples, and we compare ourselves to other people, and we say, wow, I'm so much better than them. I think social media has made this much worse because you can just kind of peer into everybody's lives a little bit and say, oh, they made that choice. They took the kids there. Oh my goodness. You know, or you can say, well, I'm so glad that my grandkids are so much better than their grandkids. And pride is kind of like a lens that you perceive things through, one side concave, one side convex, because the other side of pride is the inverse, where you look at everybody else's life and say, man, I don't measure up. I look at everything that I hear from my friend of the things that she's doing, and I recognize I'm not anywhere close to as good as she is. Or I look at all the stuff he takes his kids to, and I'm like, man, I don't make half that much money. Whatever the litmus test is, looking through the lens of pride always feeds the monster. Because the monster of pride always wants more. Sure, I'm great, but I could be greater. Oh, I can do more. Or no, I don't measure up. I can't do this at all. I'm just in despair. And in our sinfulness, that is the natural outcome. To look at all of our failures or to look at all of our accomplishments and view them in the wrong way. And Jesus says, none of that is how you should be looking at all. These are not the glasses you should be wearing. When he says, if you want to be the greatest of all, you must become least of all and a servant to all. He's not trying to feed a different way the same beast of pride. Because we could fall into that trap too. Oh man, this week I served like 50 people in one day and then another 100 the next day. And oh man, I'm so awesome. Clearly I'm great in the kingdom of heaven, right? And Jesus is calling his disciples, if you want to follow me as your leader, then you have to kill the beast of pride. It cannot remain. Because in your pride, you cannot follow Jesus. Because your pride turns it all about you. But the problem is that we are still sinners, still struggling with our own failures, our shortcomings, our blind spots, our weaknesses. And our pride continues to remain. In fact, the thing that we did at the very start of the service, that we do at the start of every service, of confessing our sins, is perhaps one of the hardest things to do genuinely. Because to genuinely confess, God, I have done wrong. Specifically, I have done this, 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 and say it with earnest and honest, is to kill our pride. That hurts. To take an honest look at ourselves and say, here is where we fall short, God. I confess it. I have done it. And I do not deserve your forgiveness. But please forgive me. It hurts. Because it's a death of a piece of yourself. And yet this is what Jesus calls his disciples to. To humble yourself. That's why later on in the gospel he talks about how if anyone would come after him, you must take up your cross and follow him. Because it's a death of your pride that is necessary. And the reality is that you cannot do that alone. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we love our beast monster of pride. It's our favorite thing to feed. Whether it be our own ego and growing and growing and growing about how we are the most awesomest ever. Or the pride that says, I will never measure up, and yet I keep that little piece of me entirely. But thankfully, Jesus knows that. Just as Jesus knew it about his disciples, he knows that about you. He knows that you are a sinful human being who struggles with your pride, and he doesn't say, well, take care of that and call me. But he says, my child, I love you. You have this problem within you. Let me help you. And so Jesus died on the cross for your sin, for your pride. Both so that your pride would not be held accountable to you, but also so that you no longer have to be a slave to the monster of pride within you. You don't have to keep falling into the trap of feeding it. But by the work of the Holy Spirit within you, you can resist that temptation. You can say, no, this is not who I serve. Because your pride is not your Lord. You are not a servant of your pride, but you belong to the one who has redeemed you, to the one who has bought you at a price. So rejoice this day that you do not have to remain a slave to your sin, to remain a slave to your pride. You don't have to fall into the trap when the temptation comes up of comparing yourself to somebody else. And regardless of where you fall on those scales, you can just say, no, this is not what God has called me to do. But instead, you can follow where the Holy Spirit is guiding you. To look out and say, who is it that God has called me to serve this day? Lord, open my eyes that I might see them and I might serve them. Not because it gains me anything, but because the reality is that God has given you value. God has made you great by what he has done and what he continues to do within you. Follow where he leads you. Look with the lenses of truth that he gives to you. See those that he has called you to serve and serve them faithfully with joy. Amen.
Please stand as we confess our faith together, the faith that was taught to us through Holy Scripture. And we'll use the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all of my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite forward the young people and their families who are going to be receiving Bibles this morning. Cora Tibbles, the verse that your parents picked for you is Joshua 1, verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And you know, I should say something about these Bibles. The reason that we're giving you these Bibles today is because these Bibles are God's love letter for you. Did you know that? All of you guys? See, in this book, we look around us in the world and we see, is everything just the way it should be? No, it's like our toys break and people fight and things just aren't quite right all the time. And in this book, God explains to us what's wrong. He says sin came into the world, right? And then he tells us about what he did in history with the people that he loved and how he provided for them and protected them and kept them safe and made sure that they knew him. And then he teaches us about what he did when he came on this earth and how he taught his people and what he did for his people. What did Jesus do for his people when he was here? What did he do? Well, now you're shy. No. What did Jesus do for us while he was on earth? Did he die for us? And then he rose again?
Yeah.
And does he live forever?
Yeah.
And is he with us every day?
Yeah.
And how do we know all that? Because God wrote it in
the Bible.
And here's the thing, is that we want to give you guys these Bibles today because you guys are now to the age where you can read. And now that you can read, we want to put God's word in your hands because you guys, do you remember the verse that was read earlier in this service? This is what King David wrote. He said, "Since my youth, God, you have taught me. To this day, I declare your marvelous deeds." Now, how could God teach King David since David was a baby, since David was really young? The same way he teaches us, King David also had God's word. Isn't that amazing? And so King David knew who God was because God revealed himself to him as well. So that's why we're doing this today, all right? So, Noah and Drew, the verse that your parents chose for you is Psalm 25:5. "Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." Chelsea, the verse your parents picked for you is Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Lillian, the verse your parents chose for you, words. Proverbs 4:6. "Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you." What God is saying, God blessed our daughters with wisdom. With this gift, let us trust and pray that our daughters make wise decisions in life and turn away from evil. Catherine. The verse your parents chose for you is Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And Zoe. The verse that your parents chose for you is Romans chapter 15, verse 13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." All right, parents. Now, for your homework. What Lauren put together here, what we have for you is a bunch of exercises, things that you can do with your children to help them, to kind of introduce them to the Bible, help them open it up and start reading it. And so we want to hand these out for you. And kids, Miss Lauren is going to be handing out some highlighters. And the reason she's handing those out is because when you find things in your Bible that you think are really special and things that you want to be able to remember and be able to find again real easily, we want you to highlight those verses so that you can that Bible can be something that can be very much yours and very much useful to you. All right? All right, everybody, let's pray. Let's thank God for his word, and let's pray that that God would teach us many good things from it, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for these young people, Lord, and the faith that you have put in them, Lord, the parents that you have given them, and this word that you have put in their hands today, Lord. I pray that they would be able to read this word every day, Lord, that they would learn from it, that they would grow in it, that they would learn your promises, that they would learn your heart, and Lord, most of all, that their faith in you would grow because of the things that you reveal to them in this book. Thank you for your incredible love, Lord. In your holy name, amen. All right, folks, you all can go back to your seats. The rest of us, as they find their seats, let's stand up. Don't stand up before they get there because otherwise they're going to have a hard time getting in. All right, we're good. Everybody stand up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God, and a God that loves us so much that you want a relationship with us, Lord, and a God who loves us so much that you gave us your word so that we can understand what it is, Lord, that you have done for us in sending your Son to die for us and providing us every day, Lord, and sending your Spirit to live in us, Lord, the promise of baptism and the promise of this supper of Holy Communion. Lord, I pray that you would continue to grow each one of these young people, Lord, and continue to grow each one of us, Lord, in this word that you have revealed to us and made available to each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless all of these families. Help them, Lord, as they discuss your truth, as they apply your truths, Lord, to the situations that they find themselves in life so that they can continue to grow in you. Lord, we also pray for Jesse, my son, Lord, as he is giving his presentation for his work in Romania after the service today. Lord, I pray that you would be with him, Lord, as he prepares for his ministry in Romania. And then, Lord, when he finally goes to Romania, that you would bless the people that he serves, give him words to speak, give them ears to hear. Help him, Lord, to speak the language with clarity so that your gospel, Lord, can be heard in another place, in another language. Lord, I pray that you would also continue to be with Mary and Lizzie Hosley, Lord, at the death of Mary's father, Lizzie's grandfather. Lord, I pray that you would be with them in this difficult time, that you would be their comfort, that you would be their the one that holds them, Lord, while they hurt. And Lord, I pray that you would send their brothers and sisters, Lord, us to continue to bring them comfort as well during this time of grief. And Lord, we also pray for Ray Norris, Lord, the father of David Norris, as he is in Barnes Hospital right now suffering from cancer and the treatments of cancer. Lord, I pray that you would give him strength, give him comfort, Lord, and be with the family as they go through the difficult time of watching one of their loved ones suffer. Lord, please bless the work of the doctors and help him, Lord, to be as comfortable as possible. Lord, all these things we bring to you today, and we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." once again, our God has blessed us. He has blessed us with his very own body and blood, in which he gives us this promise of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And we receive this gift because of his love. And so, having received the body and blood of Christ and the promise of Holy Communion, depart in his peace to serve him with joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Stand up as we sing the final song together. Please be seated. First of all, I'm going to release the kids for Sunday school. Head on out there. Meet Miss Lauren in the lobby. It will take you to where you need to go. That's middle schoolers too. Y'all can go. All right, the rest of you, I want to invite you guys to stick around. Okay, I might be biased, but I think he's pretty cool. My son is going to be doing Bible study today, the one that's going to Romania, Jesse. He's going to be telling us about what he's doing. He's been doing this presentation all over the United States. Finally, he's going to do it for us. And so I really do invite you guys to stick around. I think a lot of times we forget at St. Mark's that we're actually part of an entire denomination, and that this denomination is really active in doing a lot of things in the world. And this is one of the big mission things that they are doing, which is absolutely spectacular. So stick around for that. Also, if there's any first through third graders who didn't get a Bible today, we have spares. We're eager to give them out. So if we somehow missed you or you didn't sign up or something, please let us know, and we're still going to get you a Bible, okay? That makes sense? All right, with that then, God's blessings on your week. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. It is wonderful to be able to gather in the presence of our God. Blessings.